they're great scriptures, aren't they? Luke 7 is what we're most concerned with there is the centurion servant. And we'll see it again in Matthew 8, but we really want to get to Matthew 8, 16 and 17 today. And we will. But it's a healing Sunday. Jesus used to get in trouble for healing on the Sabbath, but we'll be all right today. And what I like about, what I like about these two aspects are, you know that healing is part of salvation, spirit, soul, and body. I would like you all to be saved, spirit, soul, and body. By his wounds you were healed. Isaiah 53, correct? But healing, you've heard me say it also, is the calling card of the gospel. Am I right? Thank you. Thank you for that overwhelming support. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Drive out demons. Raise the dead. Cleanse a leper. It's a calling card. He sent them out, sent the 70 out two by two, and he said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom has come. The calling card of the gospel. Do you know what gospel we're talking about? We're talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Sometimes we lose it by stopping at the gospel of salvation. Of course, you need salvation. But there's healing in the kingdom. That's what I want you to understand. Jesus would heal some people who were not followers or believers. And then he would find them after and say, do you know who made you well? Now they became believers because healing was a calling card of the gospel, of the kingdom. Luke 7. This is after the Sermon on the Mount. Remember 6:46, we've talked about it before. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Two types of followers of the Lord Jesus. Those who survive the storm and those who collapse. An interesting observation. But that was his Sermon on the Mount, which was very much about kingdom. And when he had completed 7:1, Luke 7:1, if you need a Bible, there are Bibles on the back table there if you'd like to follow along. I'm using God's translation this morning, the New American Standard. Sometimes, you know, Wenzel, he goes running off to these New International and stuff like that. But there, yeah, King James, yeah. There is forgiveness for that, you know, like there is forgiveness. Okay. I like King James in a few places too. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion slave who was highly regarded by him, the centurion, was sick and about to die. And when he had heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation. You're going to pick up little hints of kingdom in this little passage here. It's the elders who are calling. The centurion is not concerned about himself. He wants somebody else, the least of these, his slaves, to be healed. For he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Then Jesus started on his way with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Let's go to Matthew 8. We're going to get a few different things here out of Matthew. We're going to get three anyway. But in Luke, we see some more detail than we'll see in Matthew 8. We see some detail that Matthew didn't bother with. They say Matthew is written to the Jews. Mark was written to the Romans. Luke was written to the Greeks. And John was written to the Christians. So Matthew is about genealogy and structure and the fulfilling of the law, as well as the gospel. And Mark is about power. The operative word in Mark is immediately. It's about authority. And Luke is a grand story, with details you don't get elsewhere. And he get a detail there that the centurion actually... The envoys he sent were Jewish elders, and the Jewish elders pointed out to Jesus that this centurion was a friend, can I say, of the kingdom? He was a friend of the nation. He obviously had a respect for the Jewish spiritual life. He built them a synagogue. He had an understanding of religious structure, order, and tradition. He respected the teacher, the rabbi, the priest. Who he sent were the elders. And who he had befriended were the elders. They gave a testimony of him. Matthew 8, right after the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Same Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. You remember how Paul decided to go to the Corinthians, not in elegant words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. The leper wasn't supposed to be out in public. But many people who were not supposed to be out in the gatherings would come to seek Jesus. Just like the woman who had the bleeding issue. And he didn't know. He didn't want to presume. We don't have to presume because we have the Lord's word on it. But he didn't know if the Lord wanted to heal. He didn't know if it was his will. He probably was ignorant of many of the healing scriptures that were already in their Psalms and in their prophets. Lepers didn't get to go to the normal Saturday morning service. But he bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is a request for salvation, not for the born-again part, but for the body part, spirit, soul, and body. It's a request. Are you willing to give me salvation, redemption, restoration? Because if you're willing, you can make me clean. Isn't that interesting? He's coming with faith. If you are willing, you can. Now Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. You weren't supposed to touch these people. It was a contagious disease. Like John G. Lake. Remember John G. Lake? Remember the story about John G. Lake? Val's going to tell us the story about John G. Lake right now. No, she's not going to tell us. She's just pulled back on that. But the story is that John G. Lake, who ministered in Africa a lot and was there when some of the plagues were going through, John G. Lake was from, what's the name of that town in Idaho? Syracuse? Is that what it is? Come on. What's the biggest city if you drive through the mountains there from Washington into Idaho? What's the city that starts with S? Somebody should know. Anyway. No, that's Mississippi. We're pretty close. I don't know. It starts with S. Somebody's going to get a phone out and find it. Anyway, it's a small city. It's not a big city. Most of you have never been there. But he shut the hospital in that city because there weren't enough sick people. And it's kind of a private business in the States. He closed the hospital down for a while. But anyway, he was in Africa. And they were selling him not to go out and minister to the people who had the plague. They were dying. You know, you ever hear the Ebola thing and that sort of stuff? And they told him not to go out and minister. This was long before Ebola came along, but they had some good ones back then. And he said, it won't bother me. Spokane. There. See, I knew someone would get their phone out. Spokane. That's in Washington. I think you could be wrong then. I don't know. Okay, good. I feel better now. Anyway, they say he shut a hospital somewhere out there. It wasn't on the coast. He was inland. Anyway, an interesting story about his grave, but never mind. We won't go to that story. We'll go back to Africa. And they said, you know, you've got to stay away from these people. They're highly contagious. And he said, it can't touch me. And he says, oh, no, this is highly contagious. And he says, I'll tell you what. We go get some of the, let's go find someone who's in the morgue or something. And they're foaming at the mouth when they die. That's one of the reasons they die. It's because you don't breathe very well with whatever they were getting over there. And they said, take a sample from that person. So they took the sample and said, put it under a microscope. And they put it under a microscope and it was teeming with whatever this thing was. And he says, now, he took some in his hand and he picked it up. And he says, put this under the microscope. And they put it under the microscope and there wasn't a single living bacteria in it. It died when it touched him. He says, it can't touch me. Do you understand that? Now, that's a development of faith, I would say. Anyway, John G. Lake is an interesting fellow to read up on a little bit. Jesus was sort of like John G. Lake. I don't know if he followed him on Twitter or what, but he was a little bit like John G. Lake because when Jesus touched somebody, he did not get infected, okay? And he touched this leper. He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And you know from Hebrews 6 that the laying on of hands is one of the fundamental things you learn. It's one of the foundations of the Christian faith. Well, here Jesus is laying on of hands, and we're going to see more later in Matthew 8. He touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. Which is how Jesus often talked when he was going to exert power on a physical condition. He would say to the deaf man's ears, be opened. The present tense of an accomplished act. And immediately that leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. There was a minister who had very high success rates in his church about healing. He taught healing probably 3/4 of the time, did Sunday school curriculum for healing so that all his kids were taught healing. And the rumor is that no one ever died of sickness in his congregation. But he said 90% of Christians lose their healing on the counter attack. They get healed and they get attacked again. See that you tell no one. Do not put what's holy before dogs, and don't cast pearls before swine. See that you tell no one. When you get your healing, keep it to yourself and go back and thank God. stay with the Lord. Don't run off. But go show yourself to the priest. Reintegrate yourself now that you are cleansed to the function and structure of your church, of your kingdom. It was the nation that was given a covenant of healing. But he got it individually from Jesus, even as we can today. And it was a testimony to them. It was a testimony that the Lord fulfilled the covenant and was a healer. And then he entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, the same centurion of Luke 7. And again, this centurion is not looking for his personal salvation. He's looking for an exertion of authority and power in the kingdom. He recognizes there is a kingdom, and Luke told us that. He recognized that these people had a nation. He's a friend of the nation, of our nation, the elder said. They had grown weak as a kingdom and as a nation. They were an occupied territory. The Romans were an occupying force, a conquering force. They had lost their nation. They had wandered. But this centurion had something with an inkling about the Spirit and spiritual authorities and power, because he befriended them and gave them a synagogue so that they could practice their faith, their beliefs. And so now he's coming and asking for a favor, but not arrogantly. Isn't this interesting how he approaches kingdom? I am not worthy, even though I carry authority. He was a centurion. He commanded 100 thugs in the army. He could go to a guy like Jesus with 12 guys who didn't know how to fish well, a few tax collectors, guys who slept under trees. He could have just done whatever he wanted if he wanted to pursue Jesus. But he was a friend of the nation. He recognized something there that was bigger than the natural realm and the natural world. But he said, I can relate to it, but I don't know how to get there or walk there. So I'm asking you, will you exert authority in the realm of health? Listen again. I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He was a bright guy. He knew that words carried authority. And he knew they carried authority not only in his realm, but in the spiritual realm. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go. He goes, and to another, come. He comes, and to my slave, do this. And he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled, because Jesus already knew his authority. Back to 6:28. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. Truly I say to you, Jesus is going to interpret authority when it moves from the natural realm to the spiritual realm. Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurions, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. Isn't that interesting? It looks like he's requested, but he's requested and explained why he believes. I also am under authority. Jesus said, those who can get into the kingdom have to have some understanding of authority. That's sort of what he's saying here. He's saying those who don't get it, faith is a recognition of authority. And in the case of the Christian, it's an exercise of authority. And the servant was healed that very moment. When Jesus came into Peter's home, verse 14, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. Luke says it was a great fever, but Luke was a doctor. He always got paid more if he diagnosed a great fever than if he just diagnosed a fever. Upped his rate immediately. He touched her hand. Once again, the ministry of the laying on of hands. And the fever left her. King James would say, went out of her. I said that for Wenzel's sake. She got up and waited on him. She was not only healed, she was strong. When evening came, verse 16, when evening came, that's how you start your day, isn't it? It was evening and it was morning, the first day. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, that authority working again, and healed all who were ill. Verse 17, it's underlined and marked in red in your Bible. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Matthew points this out after giving a description of authority, authority, authority. Healing authority, salvation authority, kingdom authority, pastoral authority. When you begin to believe it, it begins to operate in you. If it's not operating in you, you haven't believed it yet. Or you've believed it and not exercised it. You see, the centurion could have said, I never tell my servant to go, he never goes. But I tell my other one to come, and he comes. He could have said, I take some of it, but I don't take it all. You have the same choice. Remember Deuteronomy 30? Choose ye this day whether you want life or death, the blessing or the curse. Well, I would try that, but I just don't believe it. So be it. So be it. Today we have the opportunity to just receive some of the salvation the Lord has given us and to exercise some of the kingdom the Lord has given us. Why was the centurion servant kingdom. It was done at the request of a centurion, not at the request of the servant. The servant was not trying to get himself saved. The centurion was trying to protect his people and help them. The centurion said, "Will you do this for one of these, the least of my brethren, my servant, my slave? Because I know how it works in my world. And by the way, I know how it works in your world. That's why I sent them to you." He understood kingdom and understood healing was intrinsically a witness, a testimony. Just like the leper, go back and give the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony. Okay. Let's take some time and pray for some of those who are worthy. Do you know how you got worthy to be prayed for today? You came through the door. We need music for that.